Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Worthing.
I have been really blessed. I really have. And I just pray that just a little tiny bit of what I've learned, I don't know that I ever knew it. And I would be talking through very familiar passages. I really will. but I hope that at the very least you might just gain some new insight into God's just deep love for you. It's just really, yeah, precious. So, Jehovah Ra, spell R-O-H-I, R-O-H-I, is God the Shepherd. And it means... It actually literally means to lead to pasture, to care for, but to literally to feed. That's the verb, raha, which is in a lot of many Bible verses have that word. And it also is used as a metaphor of ruling, but also of a kind of cherished companion. But actually, it's very specifically the feeding, the shepherd, as we understand that word that I want to talk about today. Jesus only says, I am something, seven times. You probably know that. Frank will probably tell us all of them. but I am the good shepherd is one that he says in John 10. That's only one of seven times Jesus says what he is. And so there's a real emphasis on that. And I realise it's really important that we grasp what that means for us. So, sheep. I've been reading this wonderful book. This is about, I love this book. I read it every so often. It's about, it's written by a shepherd in the Lake District in the northwest of England. And he is a traditional shepherd and his sheep are mountain sheep, fell sheep. And up there, if you've never been up there, it is wet and very cold. And they'd have, when they have rain, they really have rain. And when they have snow, it's deep. So being a shepherd is a really important job. So, as I say, it's a book called The Shepherd's Life, A Tale of the Lake District by James Rebanks. What comes out of this book is that sheep are very easily distracted. Normally when they're hungry, but they wander off. And actually when they do wander off, they're very frightened. They often either freeze or they bolt and they get themselves into deep trouble. So that's one thing I think we know about sheep. But also I was very struck that sheep are actually very intelligent creatures. We tend to talk about sheep, you know, being sheep-like is just following the herd unthinkingly. But actually sheep are intelligent, and crucially what I thought was very beautiful is they recognise human faces, not up to 10, so not like a room full, but they know their shepherd by sight, which is not common in animals. So they're not that dim. And of course, the call of the shepherd, the voice of the shepherd, the cries are very key to keeping your flock together and your dog. So, and the thing about shepherds are that, especially in Jesus' day, when Jesus is talking about, I am the good shepherd, a shepherd in those days would literally live with the sheep day in, yes, night and day, would sheep sleep. Would sleep with a sheep, and his job, his or her, I think they were mostly boys, young boys often, was to keep them safe, protect them, but also to feed them. So to take them to water and pasture. And obviously, you know, those things are, we might have a lot of water and pasture, but they're in shorter supply in the Middle East in those days. So the shepherd is caring but also strong. He's a protective role from kind of wolves and whatever else might be marauding.
David must have been a shepherd boy
at
one time,
Yeah, exactly. We'll go on to talk about David. So I just want to read you this very short passage from this beautiful book, but I want you to, this is about a shepherd in winter in the Lake District trying to get his sheep to a safe place, because they're on, they're literally up in the mountains, and these sheep, they're called Herdwicks. They're the very pretty, very cute, cuddly looking ones. They're very tough. So they're actually, a lot of the time, actually not with the shepherd, but when it really matters, the shepherd can save their lives. So, but can you hear this? Obviously, this is a modern day shepherd walking through drifts of snow, but can you just hear Jesus talking to you about how he cares and feeds and rescues you? Just both sides. So he's talking in the present tense, but it's a winter that he remembers. I don't like this snow. It's layering up into drifts very fast. I decide to take the sheep away with me, get them lower down to some shelter. I need to hurry. I push the ewes through the snow, but they want to go back. So I pull an empty Hessian feed bag out of my pocket and try to persuade them to follow me. If we can get a few hundred yards down this hillside into a new field, there is shelter. I fall on my backside in the snow and get up again. I trudge my way through the growing drifts, and I'm pleased to see that the ewes, the female sheep, seem to understand. The best ewe follows me in the trodden path I'm making through the snow. She's bred me good sons and daughters, helping to make my flock better. In the summer, she leads the flock down the lanes from the high ground and across the beck, jumping right over it with the whole flock following through the air. She's canny and streetwise. She knows they're being led away from danger now. She knows my voice. I send Floss, my sheepdog, round the rest, and they follow in Indian file. I'm sweating, but freezing cold in my toes and fingers. We reach a gateway that's deep in snow, up to my waist, and getting worse as the wind drives more snow across the land into any slack places. Beyond this point, the ewes will be safer, but I can't leave them here in this lane, so I crunch through almost up to my chest. I wonder if this is a good idea, but the old ewe is already following in my footsteps. The others look at her, unsure whether to follow. But then one of her daughters comes, and they all bunch up at the beginning of the little white gully I've created through the snow. And then I'm through the drift, the ground reaching back up towards my feet. I tumble over as I hit a stone, and the old ewe walks over my legs, followed by 80 others, all of which are now on a mission. They trek away down the fields to where the snow is less deep and where I go and feed them with hay. Whatever happens now, the sheep can endure it. They're safe here, out of the drifting winds. Floss, my dog, comes and licks my face. She knows I need her today in this blizzard. It's a real picture in that story, but also in the Bible, as we'll just, I'll just read you some passages. In fact, you will read some passages about, it's a very intimate name of God, that the shepherd. Mm. It's a real relationship. It's a real symbiosis. You have to understand your sheep and they have to trust you. It's really beautiful. I think that's the real kind of thing that I've heard through that book, but also the Bible. I know the Bible is far more important than that book. And also, as we will hear now, in the shepherd is everything mm-hmm. we need, but we have to stick close to him. Amen. We absolutely have Amen. To stick close to him. So, would anybody, I've got seven readings, would anybody mind reading one of them for me? Oh, thank you, only to people who want to. Mm-hmm. they're actually, sheep. The, yeah, sheep. They're actually written out for you as well.
Wait,
yeah,
they?
Yeah.
Oh, they're written out?
Yeah, right? No, you don't have to look it up. I thought I'd make it easy for you.
Did your glasses do?
Oh, bless you. Yeah, bless you.
I
can
see that far.
Oh.
Not quite.
Is that Isaiah?
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Is there anything in sheep that they may not hear? The shepherd the first time, but then they have to be reminded.
Well, I think there was a moment in that story where the sheep were like, they are swayed by the flock and the shepherd. There's that, I'm not sure which voice to listen to. They think they need to be back, in that story, they think they need to be back up where they were before, but the shepherd's saying, no, come down. So I think that kind of, yeah, I don't know the logistics of how many times they have to be told, probably many. Yeah. So what I was really struck was how many...
I love how passionate
you are. Yeah, I'm sorry. I have got a very cute little sheep. I'll bring you later. So I know Jesus is the good shepherd, but I was very struck how many times in the Old Testament, before Jesus, the God talks about himself as the shepherd through the prophets often. I don't think I'd ever seen that before. And how beautiful just the voice of God echoes throughout the books of the Bible. How beautiful that is. So in Isaiah, which I think Nandini's got, it's a beautiful, tender picture of a shepherd. And this is Isaiah the prophet.
Okay. Isaiah 40:10-11. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young.
Thank you. So that's Isaiah 40, verse 10. To 11. So you have juxtaposed this strong defender, warrior, fighter, God. And then the very next verse, verse 11, the shepherd who's looking after the ewes with their young and literally holding close. It's so beautiful, that verse. He's both things. And then...
So he cares for the young Christians as well.
Yeah, yeah. And I know that verse about he gently leads those who have young. That's a beautiful picture. I remember as a mother, a young, very inexperienced mother, thinking, he teaches me how to do this. And then Ezekiel is another passage where there's a lot of talk of shepherds. At the beginning of Ezekiel, if you remember, God has left the temple because of the idolatry. He's cross and angry. The people have been wicked, have been idolatrous, and God upsticks and goes, just walks out. And then Ezekiel 10, I'll read this actually. It's quite Ezekiel 10 is where God talks about leaving the temple.
34.
Yeah. So that's the next bit. So in Ezekiel 34, bit before Barbara's reading, the Lord is speaking through Ezekiel about how the rulers of the people have just let them wander, and it's a beautiful, I found it really moving actually. And you think about leaders today, so this is a picture of sheep without a shepherd. And it's the Lord, like, woe to you shepherds of Israel, you've not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You've ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered all over the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth and no one searched or looked for them. And that's a picture of what we are like. It's a, it's an analogy for poor leaders, poor governance, and we see that. People who are not looking after their people, not going to get political. But what a beautiful picture of, a heartbreaking picture of people without their shepherd. Mm. They're food for wild animals. They're easily picked off. But then in Ezekiel 34:11, God changes tack and he starts to talk about himself. This is Old Testament God through Ezekiel, talks about himself being the shepherd, coming as the shepherd. I will restore the fortunes of my people. I will do these things. Have you got Ezekiel 34:11?
Yes, I was trying to see if it's
13.
I don't know which translation this is.
NIV.
A verse where it says, I will give you good shepherds. It's the verse that brought us from the north of England to, down to Kingdom Faith.
Oh, wow.
I will give you good shepherds.
Oh, wow.
For this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the Rabbans, and in all the settlements in the land. That's referring to Israel as well, isn't it?
Mm, yeah.
Reformation of Israel.
Yeah, exactly. Does that, the talk of seeking out and gathering, does that remind you of anything in the New Testament, maybe? Just the seeking and the gathering and the...
The one lost sheep.
Yeah. Mm. It really struck... I think it might just be some of the phrasing. It did remind me of the parable of the lost sheep. Yeah. But this is Ezekiel. This is Old Testament God.
Yes.
But he talks... So it's talking about God, I will do these things. I will restore my people. I will be their shepherd. And crucially, in verse 23, this is Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 23, he talks about how he's going to do this. So does anybody have that verse? Thanks, Jan.
I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd.
Mm. Amen. Amen. So he talks about my servant David, but of course David's already died by this time. So this is after David. So this is largely seen as he's talking about a Davidic, a king of David's line, and this is the key, one of the key verses as being seen as the God promising Jesus the shepherd will come to save his people, the lamb and the shepherd. It's so beautiful, that verse, and just that promise throughout the Old Testament into the New, that line of God's faithful covenant with the people. So that, just my first point is he's the shepherd always throughout, and the shepherd metaphor, it's not a metaphor. He is, I think, God, when he says, it's not just a metaphor when God says it, it's actually, that is what he is to his people, is consistent throughout the Bible. And of course, it really presages what Jesus says in John 10, where he talks, where this is where Jesus announces himself as the good shepherd and talks about his role and actually his sacrifice. And it's the fulfillment of what God has said in Ezekiel. So can whoever has John 10 verse 9 to, I think it was
15?
Yeah, thanks,
Ali. So what, from 9 to through 15?
Yeah, 15, wasn't it? Yeah.
So, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come out. They will come in and go out and find pasture. Mm. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Mm. Verse 11.
Yeah.
I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolves attack the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep.
Thank you. So it's a beautiful picture of Jesus, the one who protects us, who holds us in the pen, feeds us, but protects us from the wolves. And there's a beautiful kind of comparison with the hireling, the hired hand, who is someone who's paid to do the job, basically, who's paid to look after the sheep. It's a doing it for the money kind of person, is not committed to the sheep, so will run away when danger comes. But Jesus is saying, I'm not that person. I will lay my life down for the sheep.
A really good illustration of that. When we were in Israel many years ago, one of the places you visit is the Shepherd's Field.
Oh.
And it's a lot of caves. You think, well, what's that about? And apparently in the winter they used to drive the sheep into the cave and the shepherds would lie across the entrance.
Beautiful.
So when Jesus says, I'm the gate of the sheepfold, he would literally put the sheep into the cave and lie across the entrance to protect them.
Yeah, that's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I got that picture when she was reading it.
Yeah. That's the door, the gate.
There.
That's what it is, the pen.
Yeah. But there were actually caves that used to put them into.
It's beautiful. Beautiful. And he is literally kind of laying, he's laying
so
down.
He's the gate,
he is
the gate.
Yeah. Yeah. It's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to come back to John 10 when we talk. We're kind of dotting around the Bible a fair bit, and I've got a specific psalm, which I'm sure you know where I'm heading with all of this.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of John 10 is so key to everything that God is. But yeah, just hold that picture, and thank you so much for that. That illustration of what it actually looked like, Andy. Just hold that picture of this is your shepherd.
Mm.
This is your shepherd who does this for you day and night.
Mm.
In the night when you're not sleeping, he's there.
Mm.
He's with you. So, right.
Yes, you can think there of all the afflictions or troubles or accidents which could have come to us, but he has prevented them.
Yeah.
We don't know how much safety is around us, do we?
No, because we're sleeping. Probably when the worst threats come. So just again, to underline So I've done the Old Testament, the shepherd, just to underline the New Testament shepherd, how significant, just keep wanting to underline how significant this picture, this promise of God, Jesus the shepherd is. So who announced Jesus' birth? Sorry, to whom was Jesus' birth announced?
The shepherds.
Yes. So this is right at the beginning of the New Testament. You have the shepherds watching their flocks by night. Jesus' birth is announced to them. Do you know what, before he ascended into heaven, what did Jesus say to Peter? He said, so it's actually the passage where Peter is, he's asking Simon Peter, Do you love me?
Feed my sheep,
didn't you? Yeah. He says, he uses that beautiful metaphor again. Simon, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. Mm. Wow. The third time he said to Simon, do you love me? Lord, you know I love me. Mm. You. Jesus, feed my sheep. Jesus said, feed my sheep. That beautiful kind of tender man, the mandate that we have to look after one another, to be, you know, when somebody in the sheep's wandering off because they think there's better hay up there, like, make sure, I know this is Simon, and yeah, we can discuss what it meant about Simon the Rock taking care of the sheep. But we do, I think, have this role to look after one another as well as Christians. And as Jesus is talking, comes to talk to address the crowds, which he did on several occasions in great numbers, there's this beautiful verse in Matthew, which I think somebody's got, how Jesus looks on the people with compassion before he starts to talk, and why he feels so compelled to share what he has. Matthew 9, verse 36.
When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd.
Yeah. You just think back to that verse in Ezekiel where the sheep are harassed and helpless, they don't have a shepherd. And I think it gives us compassion, perhaps a bit more compassion for people who struggle to kind of see Jesus in that way, to have that relationship. It's, you know, I think when you know Jesus, you know who he is to you, and you know what he does, but appreciating it's not that easy for everybody to see him in that way. Jesus, of course, is also the lamb, and was led like a lamb to the slaughter for us, and that again is in Ezekiel. That talk of this, the shepherd who's also the sacrificial lamb, and beautiful. I think was quite new to me. That in Revelation, even in Revelation 7, verses 16 to 17. It talks about our eternal destiny, of when we go into that final little sheepfold, what that is going to be like. Has somebody got Revelation 7? Oh, you got it.
Revelation 7, verses 16 and 17. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the centre of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water.
Wow.
And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes.
Isn't that beautiful? It's just beautiful. That reminder that he will... What was the book about water?
Springs.
Yeah. Right towards the end, it was, I think, the penultimate
bit. He will lead them to springs of living water.
It's beautiful, isn't it? Right at the end of the Bible, not the end of time. Well, yeah. That he reminds us of that beautiful promise of the shepherd, the loving one who provides and transcends every danger for us. So we've seen now in the Old and New Testament that beautiful, that promise, that thread of Jesus and God, of course the same, woven through the Bible and the Old and New Testament. But what does it mean for us? How do we really follow? How do we know how to follow the shepherd? And I am probably predictably led to Psalm 23, which is a psalm by David, who was, of course, originally as a boy, a shepherd. And it's really a beautiful, almost, I think, I like to think, David looking back on his life as well and saying, gosh, you have been this for me. I recognise what you have done for me, how you've led me through good and dark times. And yeah, I think as we read Psalm 23, we're going to do more like a study together, to be honest. I'm not going to preach this bit because I know there are some things I want to kind of draw out. But I think in looking at this psalm again, with that recollection of who the shepherd is for us, what his purposes are for our lives, and how we're designed to walk with him, it's really quite powerful. So, who's got Psalm 23? Have you? Ah, that's lovely. So you might want to. Does anybody else want to have Psalm 23 in front of them? It's sweet because I've got other Bibles as well. But I think.
Oh,
sorry.
Do you have Xander, do you want
some? Does anybody else want one? Yeah. Anybody got one? Do you want that one, Daniel? Oh, yeah. Everybody got one?
I was willing. Everything comes to he who waits.
Yeah.
Good things do come.
So, Frank, would you read it through for us?
I think the first thing I want to say is it's present tense.
Yeah.
The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me to lie down, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Mm. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Mm. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, the A means.
Oh.
I will fear no evil, for you are with me.
Mm.
Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows.
Amen.
Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life.
Mm.
And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 23, a psalm of David.
Yeah. So this is written by somebody who knows what it is to be a shepherd. What I thought was very beautiful is the first line, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but the first line of that psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. Actually, the Hebrew is Jehovah Raha, which is just Lord, my shepherd. It's like, it's an address. It's not a statement, it's a cry. It's the vocative in Latin case. It's the, I'm talking to Jehovah Raha.
Mm.
Isn't that beautiful?
Mm.
And it's Jehovah Shepherd. It's like a cry from the heart. You're mine, that intimacy again. Just fighting with all my papers. Right.
He knows that he's the shepherd of the sheep.
Yeah.
And he's recognizing God.
Yeah.
You're my shepherd. Yeah. And everything he's done for the sheep, the Heavenly Father will do for him.
Yeah.
Which is like a wonderful revelation.
Yeah.
As a young man on the hillside.
It's beautiful, isn't it? Could you read again? It doesn't have to be Frank, actually. Anybody could just read verses 1 and 2 again.
The Lord is my shepherd.
No, it could be Frank.
I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures.
Mm.
He leads me beside still waters or quiet waters.
Mm. Mm.
May I read it from the Amplified?
Yeah.
The Lord is my shepherd, to feed, guide, and shield me. I shall not lack. He makes me lie down in fresh, tender, green pastures. He leads me beside the still and restful waters.
Yeah. Can you read the next bit?
He refreshes and restores my life, myself. He restores myself. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with him.
Mm.
Not for my earning it, but for his name's sake.
Beautiful. So we're here again, don't we? That leading to walk, there's talk of water, and green pasture. That's, sheep need those two things, but that's all they need.
Mm.
That's everything they need. It's the water and the pasture.
Yes.
And that's why he uses those, in that psalm, he leads me by quiet waters, he leads me to water, and makes me lie down in green pasture. That is absolutely the beautiful thing that sheep long for in the spring when the grass comes up again. You know, it's getting a bit old now, the grass, but the green pastures, that's all that we need. And in the NIV it talks about he restores my soul. Restoring your soul is like, that's absolutely your sense of who you are, your inner life. It restores you to a sense of yourself, which is, you know, when we feel very lost.
Mm.
I think sometimes when we know who we are, and I think it means who we are in him, of course, that's when we are truly safe and happy, isn't it? And for his own name's sake, for his glory, but because that's who he is, it's for his glory, but it's also like, he restores my soul because that's in his nature.
That's right.
That's the reflection of who he is. He wants to tenderly lead us to the best places. He wants to bring us to quiet, clean, safe water and green pasture, but we have to follow him. We have to stick close. We have to follow him. How about, verse 3, he guides me along the right paths. sorry, this I've confused two verses there. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. We are easily distracted. We just are. We know, don't we? We know when we're not, we know deep down when we're not following the shepherd, we know what that, we know that what that feels like. We may not be able to articulate it, but we know when we're not following it, him. Mm-hmm. And we know when we're not in the right paths, but he knows the safe place. He knows where he's going with us and he guides us, but we must not be distracted. Yeah. And he does that. He does that for his glory, for his name's sake. He guides us in paths of righteousness because that's who he is. Mm. He longs to see the best for us. He's made us. Mm. He longs for us to walk in the way that he created us to walk. And we try so hard to do our own way. Yeah. Anyway, could somebody read verse 4 again, please?
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me.
Mm. And we were praying over a family this morning who are, one of them's facing coming close to death, and we know that can be literally, that's why this psalm is so beautiful. When people are close to death or have died, that's a real comfort for us. But it can be life's, the valley of the shadow of death can be those times in life where we just feel far away from God sometimes, don't we? We feel like we're in that kind of place where he can't find us, and that can be, through depression, does that? It can isolate us, or hard things that we don't understand. We feel he's not there. Why are you not sorting this, Lord? But that great promise, that beautiful scriptural promise, the shepherd, he is with us.
Amen.
He is with us. He's always with us. You are with me. And I think it's very easy to forget that the shepherd is with us always, but he is with us. He is always. Yeah. And you think of David writing this. David had quite a colourful life in lots of ways. And he definitely walked through the valley of the shadow of death and did some foolish things. But he knows, he's looking back perhaps, and he knows that God has been with us, him, through those times. Yeah. There are a lot of dangers. There are, as we heard in John 10, where Jesus is talking himself as the good shepherd, there are wolves, there are thieves out there, there are hired hands and hirelings who are not actually going to look after us. There are things that we, shiny things that we follow, which we think will bring meaning and protection or whatever else. Crystals. I've got a friend who talks about crystals in this way, and I can't see how that's going to work. It's a piece of rock. How about the rock? Yeah. And that beautiful picture of the rod and the staff comforting. So the rod is literally the staff of buffing, call it buffing bears. The rod is the kind of the, like, the, think of it as a baseball bat for defending the...
All of these lines, they all refer to names or attributes of God, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the Lord of hosts, Lord of armies.
Yeah.
And all of them refer, like, Lord my shepherd and...
Yeah. Next preach.
Oh, sorry.
No, Andy, preach it. And the rod is the bashing, and the staff is the crook. you know, and that's literally the hook that's often actually made in the Lake District out of the ram's horn for protecting, we're literally protecting the sheep. When they go off, it's for literally like grabbing the sheep, protecting them from themselves half the time, pulling them back from probably wandering off to thinking they can find better things, better food elsewhere. But it's that defender and protector, defender from outside threats, but protector from ourselves, I think, sometimes. Beautiful.
Can I maybe say correction?
Yeah.
It's a hard word.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Oh, don't we need it? Don't I need it?
Then we all need it.
Yeah.
And she's even got sheepdogs, goodness and mercy.
Oh, yeah. 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 Would you like to read that last bit, Barbara?
Surely, or only goodness, mercy, and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life, and through the length of my days, the house of the Lord shall be my dwelling place.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Goodness and mercy shall follow me. Mm. Think of them like sheepdogs.
Yeah.
Like Floss in the James Rebank story. The sheepdog is like just hemming them in, just keep making sure they're not going off on one, even when they've decided that this is the thing, they still get distracted. I thought that was beautiful. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. So we follow the shepherd, goodness and mercy are behind, like hemming them in. How beautiful. How beautiful. Yeah. Keeping me on the right path.
It's also important because the shepherd in those days walked at the head.
Mm.
The dogs walked at the back.
Yeah. I think sometimes in that picture of Lake District Shepherd, he was ahead and the dog was behind. Mm. But obviously sometimes they're all kind of
together
as a kind of a pack, but it's beautiful. And I think it's clear that we need to stay close to the shepherd, because he provides, he feeds us, he's everything that we need. And just to go back to John 10. So in John 10, 11, this is where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The verse before that, John 10, 10, if I'd said to you before, John 10, 10, what is John 10, 10? That is a very familiar verse. It's one that a Christian charity that I work for uses all the time, because this is its vision of what it wants to bring people. It's not just the providing stuff, it's that they would come to know God. So it's, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That's John 10, 10. Right before John 10, 11, I am the good shepherd. Those two things are so intimately intertwined. He's the good shepherd. He is the one that brings us life in all its fullness. Apart from him, we're lost, we're scattered, we're like food for wild animals. But with him, that's all we have to do. It's really hard. Why is it so hard for us? Why is it so hard?
But, okay,
So
Yeshua said again, this is from the Tree of Life version. So Yeshua said again, amen, amen, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All of those who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. If anyone comes in through me, he will be saved.
Amen.
He will come and go and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, slaughter, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly.
Mm.
Yeah, that's amazing. That is.
It's beautiful.
So why did the prodigal find it so hard to return?
But we all have. I think we all have prodigal episodes or prodigal attitudes sometimes. Don't I'm talking to about myself maybe, but yeah, it's a good. It is a very good question. But I think in that you read again, Andy, just then. I am the gate. Whoever enters through, we will be saved. They will come in and go out. We were talking earlier.
Yeah.
They actually, we have free will. We know where the fold is, the pen or the cave, but we can go in and out. We still have free will. We still have the choice and we can wander off. I mean, we know the shepherd will draw us back. But I thought that was really, it really hadn't struck me until this morning. Kai was talking about something, I can't remember actually what it was, but something related but slightly different. I thought, they will come in and go out. We still can wander if we want to, but oh my goodness. If we think of it all around as, yes, the risks, the false shepherds or the wolves, those kind of risks outside, and that's not to like make us fearful. It's just that is the reality.
Mm.
And he's the only one who lays his life down for the sheep.
I fear the hook, the shepherd's crook.
Yeah.
Pulls you back.
Correction, though, as you say, it's a tricky word that, but it's very important. So I wonder if we could just spend, maybe have that psalm in front of you. And I'll put some gentle music on in a minute.
Just we'll need to go at some stage. We're having lunch with people from the chapel.
Great. Oh.
So we'll get the report of Andrew.
So I would just like us to spend, if you need to go, please do, but just 3 minutes just asking God, what are the things in my life that distract me? Why do I find it hard to stick close? You might not. But, or what is God the shepherd saying to you? What new things is he saying to you about his promises for you? So why do you find it hard to stick with God? Or what is God the shepherd saying to you? You personally, because it's personal. He's your shepherd.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.